Welcome to another episode of This Woman Works. I am your host, Mike Patton. And on this episode, we will be getting to know Mandy Brown, the relatable counselor. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great. Now, we're going to get into you, your story, what you do now. But first, like every episode of This Woman Works, we started with the Black Girl Magic moment. And I got to talk about Miss Dawn Staley. Now, Dawn Staley has three national titles. She is the only Black coach to win three national titles. Not only did she win three national titles, but she did it this year with an undefeated team. Totally different starting lineup than the previous season, yet she still goes out and dominates. And not only does she do this, but she actually cares about the women on her team. She even created a major and helped create a major for a player that she wanted to come to her school because she cared that much about her education. She does all these different things and instills stories or instills different things in every single girl that's on her team, including beginning of the season. They had a chance to lose a game, but to prove a point and to kind of teach a lesson, she actually sat one of her best players for most of the game. Had the chance to look that the lesson that she was going to learn would be much more important than the actual win for the game, which, you know, of course, she taught lessons during the season, and she'll probably continue to teach more because she has two more high school All-Americans coming next year, a 5'9 point guard and a 6'2 forward, you know, just to add to what she has. But you just got to admire her going to a place like South Carolina where no one really thought of basketball, women's basketball at that. And now she has made them a powerhouse. So I have to salute Ms. Dawn Staley, third championship at the University of South Carolina, only Black coach with three national titles. Salute Ms. Dawn Staley. Mandy, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
What you said was honestly perfect, but of course, want to congratulate her and speak on the fact that how she makes her presence known, but make her players feel welcome, safe, seen, and even some of the students on campus that are a part of the LGBT community, they've spoken a lot about her and how she advocates for them as well. So, like, she's an all-around great woman, Black magic all day.
Yep, and she definitely spoke on that uncommon fable. Yes, I need that on a shirt ASAP. So, definitely, again, Miss Dawn Staley, the Black Girl Magic moment for this episode. But we want to speak about another young woman that is Black Girl Magic. That would be you, Mandy Brown. So we got to get into your story and kind of how, you know, you became who you are now. But first, we got to take it all the way back.
Oh, goodness.
To young Mandy. Now, for those that aren't aware, where did you grow up?
I am from Chicago, Illinois.
Chicago. Now, what part of Chicago are you from?
So I'm from the east side part of Chicago. I grew up on the south side, but I'm east side through and through.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, I don't know any of that, but, you know, you're just pointing out where you grew up. So, yeah. So how was it growing up where you grew up?
It could be better. It could be better. We moved probably every year, every 2 years. So I've never really had a stable house to call a house. We changed schools a lot. I kept most of the same friends because we were always in the same neighborhoods or because of church. But I definitely grew up around violence. Like, I'm not scared of gunshots, bullets. I've seen robberies. We've been robbed multiple times ourselves in our house and in our garage. So a lot of trauma I am very familiar with that happens in our community.
Okay. So what were, speaking of those different things, what are some of the things that you kind of remember growing up?
You want the good things or the bad things?
Whatever you would like to talk about, good and bad.
I'll stick to the good since it's Black Girl Magic. The best thing was just a little ghetto, but the best thing I remember growing up is going to this laundromat right off East 83rd. And it's this little mom and pop Asian laundromat at that. And right across the street from it before it closed was Leon's Barbecue. And we will go there every week. And we'll walk across the street and get barbecue. And we'll meet my friends at the laundromat while we're washing clothes. And we'll do homework and we'll hang out. And the mom and pop who owns that laundromat, they will come out and talk to us. They'll talk to our moms. You know, they'll engage with their customers and just be seen, like make their presence known. And it's crazy enough, when I moved down here, I go to a laundromat not too far from my house, and it's kind of the same type of vibe, minus the barbecue, because I really miss that. But it's a corner store next door, and the guy, he knows us all the time. We go get like chips and juice and stuff like that. And that was probably like my best memory, because ideally, like, to have a washing machine and dryer, like, you got money to wash stuff at home. Like, you have some type of status. So I didn't know how poor we were or how insufficient we were when I was growing up, until I saw, like, okay, we can have a washing machine and dryer now in our house. We don't got to go to laundromat no more. But I miss those memories, because, like, we were just innocent and small and just having fun and just having our community around us. Like, it was actually very peaceful over there.
Okay. All right. So, you know, as kids, we all have different things that we want to be. I know me, I wanted to be a professional football player when I was a kid. So what are kind of some of the things? I didn't become that, by the way, folks. So, you know, I went to college, and college football was where those dreams died. But what exactly were some things that you wanted to be or thought about being when you were a kid?
I wanted to be two things. I wanted to be a scientist and I wanted to be a teacher. I used to love mathematics and chemistry, like obsessed. Even though I was terrible at it, I still loved it, and I love creating new things. And so I felt like I could cure cancer or, you know, do all these things. And then with education, I just wanted to be the teacher that I saw. So my music teacher and my third grade teacher at the time, they were like my favorite people in the whole world. Like, my teacher, my third grade teacher, she taught me how to read at an Excel level. She took me out of my class and put me in the classroom full of fifth graders, because I was reading and comprehending at that level. And she like poured into me, and that was like phenomenal. And then my music teacher, ironically, who I end up working with in the future, she created a safe space for all of us to like create, make new friends, do music, and just like, it was like a safe space. Like, it didn't matter if you were cool, lame, jock, whatever, everybody's the same in her classroom, because we all like the same stuff. So those two people influenced me to become a teacher.
Gotcha. Yeah, I definitely never thought to be a teacher, even though I was urged by someone in my life to be a teacher at one point. I was like, you know, you could be a teacher and you could be a coach, or, you know, coach on the football team, stuff like that. And I was like, nah. I just can't imagine being in the classroom monitoring all these kids and then going out to practice to coach some more kids. No.
You get to one time was good practice. For me. That's the best part about it.
No, I think one time was good enough for me. I was good to go with just one go round, and I'm good. But yeah, definitely, you know, it's definitely, you know, good to have dreams. And, you know, it's what it sounds like, a part of your dreams kind of moved with you going forward in the things that you ended up doing. Now, of course, I don't want to kind of spoil that. So, you know, it's kind of like a tease. That's the tease, as they say in the business. But we're going to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about how you got to where you are now. We're going to kind of introduce everyone to what you are doing now on This Woman Works.
EDO Beard Butter and EDO Beard Washers are the best beard grooming products for men worldwide. They help promote growth, keep your beard moisturized and soft, and enhance your overall upkeep of your facial hair. And with the new promo code MPASC10, you can get 10% off of these products. Just go to www.etsy.com/shop/EBO Beard Butter. Again, that's www.etsy.com/shop/EBO Beard Butter. And again, the promo code MPASC10. Again, MPASC10, where you can get 10% off any products except for beard boxes. So treat your beard better today by going to get this EBO, the EBO Beard Butter and EBO Beard Wash.
All right. Thank you to EBO Beard Butter. That is one of my sponsors. Of course, let me flash it across the bottom for everybody that's watching. This show is sponsored by EBO Beard Butter. 10% off on everything but beard boxes. Promo code MPAFC10. Now, for those that don't know, MPAFC10, that is not any kind of initials for this podcast. That is the initials for my other podcast, which is Touring the AFC South, which Mandy is actually wearing a shirt for Touring the AFC South, which I do have merchandise as well, people. But, of course, that's another show. We're going to leave that show there. They got to circle around. Come on back to This Woman Works. Now, before we went to the commercial break, we did talk about where you are now and kind of getting into that. Now, for those that aren't aware, can you please tell them what you do now?
I do everything. It feels like it. I am currently a clinical mental health counselor here in Tennessee. I previously worked with the incarcerated population while they're in CDOT custody. Now I get to work with them on the outside. Thanks to having a contract with THEI, which is the Tennessee Higher Education Initiative. I also work with a group practice called Mindful Steps. So all my free people, you can definitely receive services that way. I work with two nonprofits, so the Dream Initiative and also Recycle and Invest. And I work with Natural Thrives Coalition. And I'm a mom, which takes over everything. So yeah, I do it all.
I hear you there now. You know, the only thing left out of that whole thing was a partridge in the pear tree. But yeah, you definitely do some of everything for sure. Now, how did you kind of start thinking about, you know, the profession that you're doing? How did you kind of start, you know, those wheels start turning towards wanting to do that?
So my music teacher, I graduated college. And I ended up working as an academic advisor for the Charter School Network in Chicago. And then I had an interview for Beethoven Middle School right off West 47th. And my music teacher is the vice principal. Well, was the vice principal there. Now she's the principal. But was the vice principal there. And she recognized me immediately. I was like, oh my gosh. And she was like, yes, you can have this job. And so I became the world history teacher there for the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, and also their flag football coach. And as I was there, I'm probably one of the youngest people on staff. And I was the only teacher at the middle grade level who parents were willing to communicate with. So like a lot of parents, they will literally physically fight with the staff, come up there calling, cussing, slashing tires, you name it. We had security. And wow. I was probably one of the only ones that they would actually just talk to. I would FaceTime them, text them, like keep them up to date with everything, let them know what their child is doing. I let them come sit in the class. I'm like, look, I want you present because I can only do so much as an educator, as a parent. We need to be on the same team. And so my vice principal at the time, she was like, hey, how about you take the school counselor position? And I was like, no. I was against it. So I'm like, these people are crazy. And you're going to ask me to take care of everybody, the whole school. Like, no. And she's like, but you'll be so perfect. And, you know, we have the funds for it, but we didn't have a contract counselor at that time. So I entertained it. I started it. And I also enrolled in a psychology master's course. And I enjoyed it so much, I switched over to clinical mental health counseling. But I stopped working at the school. I decided that I wanted to do social working instead at a state level. And while I was doing that, I got to see the gap, not only in education, but also as a people in my community of those who needed, you know, welfare benefits and what their mindset was, because we offered education as well to be covered if you want these type of benefits, if you want to provide for you and your children. And it was just crazy, like, what would show up. But also, it showed, like, the lack of knowledge we have to get access to those things, especially when it came to medication as well. And so that job actually gave me more fire to stick within my counseling program and ask you to finish.
Okay. All right. All right. So let's see, what all does your profession entail in kind of, you know, what all does it entail in terms of different roles you kind of have to play?
If you're speaking of roles, I can play the friend. I can play the devil's advocate. I can play a lot of things. But my role as a, well, with the contract I have, I do assessments. So THEI, they have this halfway house called the Auburn Commons House right by Vanderbilt. And there they need assessments to see if these guys that are coming out of the incarcerated, you know, facilities, are they capable of living with other people in the free world? And so I do those assessments. I keep it real with them. I talk to them. I see what resources they need, not just even at a behavioral level, but like more outside of it. And I do, those guys are going to college free. They, all of them go to Nashville State, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And that role, I was like, okay, I kind of piece it together, staffing them what's needed, if it's going to work, if it's not going to work, if it is, what's there. At a counselor role with the group practice, naturally diagnosis, modalities, healing journey, all that niche, everything that anyone needs in therapy. And I also do coaching as well with groups and individuals. So it kind of plays a role, but coaching, I'm only tackling a specific problem. I'm not tackling everything that you're handing to me. So there's the difference. And I'm not diagnosing you either. And then the nonprofit, you know, I serve on boards. I serve as a secretary. So it's different.
Gotcha. So what are some of the things you kind of hope to see in your profession?
I hope to see people being honest with themselves more, that they have a problem, and if they actually want help, and if they do want help, they utilize that help. I have encountered people who say, oh, I want help, I want to tackle this issue, and you give them the resources or the referrals, and it just sits. It's like, I'm glad you acknowledge something's wrong. That is very, very big step, and even a bigger step to want help, but you have to see it through. So that's what I'm
thinking. Okay, going a little bit deeper. So what are some of the things you'd like to see from society, and especially Black people, when it comes to therapy?
To accept it. To come and enroll. I want them to know that you're not crazy for getting therapy. Okay, like I know growing up personally, you would get shunned if you hear the word therapist or medication in the same sentence. But going through my own anxiety and depressive state, it's like, no, this is actually very helpful. And this is actually what's keeping me sane from not popping off for you. So I want people in our community to see that there are other people of color in these roles that are willing to help you and meet you where you are and help you accelerate from there, if you allow us to.
Gotcha. Definitely. Well, of course, I know you have a little bit more advice. It kind of leads us into our next part of what we're going to talk about. But of course, you know, we got to pay these bills. So a quick commercial break. We'll be right back.
A shift is something that happens and changes the dynamics. And that's what happened when Garrett Logistics was born. After 10 years as a sales pro in the logistics world of sporting goods, John Garrett decided to pivot to the world of freight and start a brokerage. So you're saying to yourself, why trust Garrett Logistics? Well, Garrett Logistics helps shippers improve overall workflow, along with increased on-time pickup and delivery percentages. Last-minute loads, multi-drop pickups, and more are part of the services with Garrett Logistics. They're available Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 12 p.m., all times Central Standard Time. So give them a ring at 615-400-8484. That's 615-400-8484, or you can email them at john@garrettlogistics.co or visit their website at garrettlogistics.co. Garrett Logistics, where the motto is, it's not just freight to us, it's your business.
All right, and we are back. And like I mentioned before we went to commercial break, I'm going to talk about a little bit of advice. I'm pretty sure you've got some advice over the years of doing what you've been doing. But of course, what's the biggest lesson that you've learned in the business?
To stay true to myself. I can honestly say that in the beginning, I had a strong sense of self-imposter syndrome, even though it's a myth amongst Black people, but it's not. And because I felt being down here where I came from, in a way, made me inadequate. Who I was around at that time, after my internship, like my initial internship at that, they didn't make me feel seen or heard. So I felt like hopping into this field was like officially. So now I was like, just be true to you, be confident in what you do, always keep seeking knowledge through seminars, go listen to podcasts, read books. Expanding your knowledge is probably the best thing that you can do for yourself to help the next person.
Okay. All right. And what kind of hard work goes into everything that you do?
I don't get no sleep. But I'll say this. You have someone else's brain in the palm of your hands, if that makes any sense. So the way that they're thinking in these sessions, the sense of security that they're looking for, the validation or the tools, you have them in your hands. And it's up to you to not only to protect them, but to keep them safe during this delicate journey. So yeah. This space is beautiful and stressful simultaneously.
Gotcha. Well, we didn't talk about what had happened was either. But yeah, I didn't want to mention that too. I definitely would say that that's a safe space that you created as well to kind of allow people to create to let out their stories and talk about things going on with themselves as well. Can you talk about that space and how that was created too?
Yes. Well, what had happened was It's My Baby. That is my first website. Well, what happened was a mental health storytelling website. You can tell a story of your life with the name on it, anonymously, of course. And it was just based off what I went through myself in the past year and a half, 2 years, to where I felt like I was so ashamed of what I went through because of who I am and the credentials and the statures that I have. I'm like, this is not going to happen to me, but it did. And so I was like, if I can have the space to reclaim my voice and to tell my stories, so can others. And so the website is just that. It also has a mental health resource, so you can do like mental health assessments, but still get a mental health professional to diagnose you. But there's assessments listed. There are worksheets listed. There are halfway houses for all 50 states listed. All the hotlines are listed. And there are also websites for free therapy. And I work with a Black Mental Health Village, so there is a therapy fund. So if you're looking for therapy, I believe you can cover up to about 4 months worth of therapy with the clinician within our network. Is a great website.
Yeah, definitely. I can definitely say that because I've read some of the stories and I've seen some of the resources that are available on there. It's definitely, if you're looking for resources, it's definitely somewhere to look. But I did have one other question that I wanted to ask you. What are some of the, that's a big question in terms of just in general, what are some of the boundaries between patients and therapists that have to be there?
Ooh. Boundary number one, you can follow me on social media, but I cannot follow you. I am not going to look into your life. I'm not going to scroll on your stuff. I'm not going to look up pictures. That is a big, that's crossing boundaries. Two, after we end our clinical relationship, I cannot personally have a relationship with you. It's not possible. And ethically, it's not going to happen. I have to wait 5 years. So I may enjoy you in our sessions. We may grow together. But once that relationship ends, you are on your own for a few years. Now, if I see you in person, I'll acknowledge you, but it's also me protecting your identity. So I'm not going to engage into a deep conversation. I'm not going to talk about what we speak on. If you want to say thank you, by all means, but my goal and my job is to protect you. So there's that boundary. Also, harassment. You'd be surprised how many clinicians used to have this issue or tell me about this issue. If there is a level of harassment, that clinical relationship ends. If there is a feeling of strong suicidal ideation and a plan that you're going to act out, I do have to call. That is a boundary, because I'm not only stating that I'm protecting you, but I'm also like protecting myself as well. So there are a few boundaries in place, and believe it or not, I've only had this issue down here with the male species. Love you all. But I do not date any of my clients. You cannot flirt with me to get a session. Big no-no. If I know you, also that is a boundary. If I know you personally, I cannot be your therapist. Not gonna happen.
Well, there we have it. There we have it. Well, we have gotten to know Miss Mandy Brown, the relatable counselor, as she is known. But let's get to know you just a little bit more. That's where the speed round comes into play. We've got 10 questions. Of course, answer is as quick as you like. We're going to go through these pretty fast. What's your favorite snack?
Twizzlers.
Okay. All right. Favorite album you've listened to?
DMX.
Okay. Which one?
Honestly, all of them. But my favorite song from this album is Slippin'. So definitely that one.
Got you. Best television sitcom of all time.
Chowder. No, family sitcom. Big Bang Theory.
Okay. All right. Best restaurant no one has heard of.
Here?
Wherever.
Grand Chinese Kitchen back home in Chicago off 87.
Oh, there we go. Songs you currently have on repeat.
Gyra by Maverick City Worship Team. Yeah.
Okay.
On repeat every day.
All right, cool. Mine is Child of God by Blast.
Come on.
I love this song. Love that song.
You see, I was jamming out to Marvin Sapp earlier. I mean, he's in the rotation, but Gyra.
Okay. All right. All right. Favorite movie of all time.
Favorite movie of all time. West Side Story. The original West Side Story, not this new one that y'all made for the young folks.
Okay. All right. Okay. One person you'd like to sit down with and have dinner and pick their brain. Can be famous, non-famous.
DMX.
DMX, okay.
Yeah.
All right, greatest.
Look at his upbringing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Greatest hip-hop track of all time.
Hip-hop track of all time.
One that you're just like, okay, cool. That one, I can rock with all day long. Listen to it, whatever.
Well, I Choose You by Project Pat. Y'all know, put on Project Pat, it's a rap. I was going to say, you know, L. Cool J, Can't Live Without My Radio, because I know that bar for bar. But all day, every day, Project Pat.
Okay. I was surprised, you know. I probably would give you some New York songs. It really would. Yeah. I give you Troy, They Reminisce Over You. Pete Rock and CL Smoke. Gotta have that. And then, of course, Luchini by Camp Lo. That is by far the song. I cannot go without that song.
Matt.
So yeah. So you didn't expect those, did you?
No.
Yeah. I love those songs. Those are two of my favorites. Of course, favorite food.
Oh,
Chinese, okay. All right. Four people you put on your Mount Rushmore of just people in general.
Four people for Mount Rushmore?
Yeah, your four people Mount Rushmore of like, say, people you'd be like, okay, these are my four people. If I need my four people, I'd be like, boom, 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 boom. That's them.
Well, what would I need them to do? Like,
like if you look up to them or their idols or something like that.
You know, to be honest, I really don't look up to people, because I found out early on in my undergrad, like, yeah, they have the blueprint and I admire them, but like, I would feel like they're in their shadow and I would feel incompetent, and that would get to me and my identity. So I don't have one.
Okay. There we go.
Well, admire, but look up is a very big word.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, the speed round is over. That 10 questions, you've all went through them. And that is the end of the show. I want to thank you, Mandy, for coming on. If you can, tell everyone where they can find you on social media and what all things that you're working on that you want to tell everyone about.
Woo. Okay, so social media, you can find me on Instagram at The Relatable Counselor. It will automatically pop up with or without the underscores. Facebook is pretty much the same, and also Well What Happened With has their own Facebook page. You can find me on Well What Happened With, the website, and also therelatablecounselor.com, the website. LinkedIn is Mandy Brown. What I have coming up, I will be in New York in 2 weeks speaking for a Black Men's Mental Health Conference at Adelphi University. Super duper excited. It's sponsored by their social work department. And this is their third annual one, so I am happy to be presenting and speaking on the justice impacted population and how it affects Black men's mental health and their well-being. It's something I'm passionate about. After that, of course, I have other podcasts and stuff down here. And I plan on taking a break. But later this year, you can see me on the campuses of Fisk and TSU, along with Black Mental Health Village. We're going to do mental health pop-ups there. And I'll be teaming up with or working with TSU Counseling Services. So, there we go.
There we have it. There we have it. A lot of big things coming up for you. And, of course, for this podcast, This Woman Works, we will definitely be having big things coming down the pipeline. Just stay tuned for a lot of different people from different walks of life in terms of actresses or, you know, different things, people in the newsroom as well. We're going there too. Definitely keeping it Black, definitely with Black women and showing love to Black women each and every episode on This Woman's Work. My name is Mike Patton. Of course, you can find me on Twitter at MikePatton82. That's MikePatton82 on Twitter. Or excuse me, the artist formerly known as Twitter. Got to show love to Prince. But anyway, you can find me on Instagram and Threads at the, that's THA, not THE, underscore general underscore MP. And of course, you can find This Woman's Work, This Woman Works, on YouTube and all your listening platforms. I want to thank you all for tuning into this episode. We're out. Peace.